The Ray D'Arcy Show with Halo, the taxi magnet. Give your phone special taxi pulling powers. Halo, the nationwide taxi app. Drivers, sign up now at halo.ie.
Now, fatal-fetal abnormality is a term we've heard a lot on the show over the past year. It was an issue in the debate that split the country during the passing of the Protection of Life During Pregnancy Act. And it's the subject of Gillian Binchy's first very courageous novel. And Gillian joins us in the studio. Good morning, Gillian.
Good morning, Ray.
Thanks for coming in. You live out by the sea, don't you?
We do, yeah. We're just out past Dunleary. We're out in Sandy Cove.
And you sea swim. Is it every day?
No, not every day. And actually, we're not the real, I suppose, true sea swimmers, because we kind of get out of the water at the end of November and don't go back in until April.
All right.
So we're not as
this
dedicated.
Is April, this is the 1st of April.
Yeah, well, I suppose we should be in maybe tomorrow.
Right, okay. Let's talk about, it's a novel, right, but it's heavily autobiographical, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct.
So why did you decide not to just tell people your story? Why did you decide to make it fiction as opposed to non-fiction?
Well, I suppose there was a few reasons. First of all, I'm married to a fantastic guy called Gary, and I thought the story would be more dramatic if I crafted the girl going to Liverpool on her own, Afri going to Liverpool on her own. So I chose to make it even more dramatic, I suppose, than my own story. Okay. So that was really, I suppose, the main reason.
Yeah, I suppose when people hear your own story, they'll wonder why you had to dramatise it anymore. But you lived through this, and I suppose you sat down then and said, what if I had to go through it on my own, I suppose, and that's Afric's story.
Well, that is Afric's story, because when Gary and I were in Liverpool waiting for our termination for medical reasons, we heard lots of different stories from the amazing nurses that were there, and some of the stories were about the loneliness of women who travelled on their own to Liverpool. And even though what we went through was absolutely heartbreaking, I couldn't imagine how anybody could go through that on their own. Okay. So that's why, I suppose, that inspired part of the novel.
And you sat down to write it, like, things were still very raw, weren't they?
That's right. Zaldane was born the 10th of May, and then I started writing the book at the end of May.
Okay.
And then I finished it mid-September, just before I returned to work.
So it was probably easier to pretend that it was somebody else's life and not your own.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. I mean, that, I suppose, is part of the escapism, isn't it, of writing?
Yeah.
I suppose, and because the hurt was still very raw, I had to detach myself somewhat from it.
So it was nearly like therapy, the book was
nearly
like...
Oh, yeah. Great therapy, absolutely, yes. Great therapy. I got up in the morning, I went for a run. Of course, it was the most beautiful summer. Now, if you were to pick a summer for a fatal-fetal abnormality, I did pick the correct summer. Now, that doesn't take away from the pain, of course, but it was absolutely beautiful. So I got up, I ran, I swam, I wrote, I swam, I wrote, I ran, I slept. So it was just...
And you worked your way through your grief?
I worked my way through, well, so, you know, yeah, I worked my way through some of my grief. Yeah, it certainly helped me to...
So it's less than a year now since...
Yeah, it is. God, yeah. It's nearly a year.
Yeah.
God, it feels like... Some days it feels like yesterday, and other days it feels like 10 years ago.
Okay.
So yeah, it's just
so,
a year
so
now.
Bring us back to... So were you trying for a baby?
Not for too long, but and then I discovered that I was pregnant on actually New Year's Day, and I suppose the whole way through the pregnancy I kind of felt to the back of my head that there was something wrong. I wasn't really sure what was wrong. I was myself. I had this real...
But your first pregnancy?
Yeah,
first,
you don't know, do you?
Yes,
Well, I don't think you ever know, to be perfectly honest, anyway, I didn't really know what to expect, but I never reached that kind of really happy, blooming, you know, I was never... terribly content with myself. I wasn't really myself. So at the back of my head, I kept telling myself there's something wrong. Then all my friends were telling me, oh, it's just the hormones are driving you mad. And then in May, we went in for a routine 22-week scan. I was working on a big project, so I kind of left to go for a week or two. And then we discovered there and then that Zaldane was incompatible with life, that she had Patau syndrome. So, which meant that she was never going to live outside the womb.
Right.
So
and you would have, were you paying, like, because it was a big story last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a big story,
because Arlette who would have talked to us, and then her and three of her friends went public, appeared on the cover of the Irish Times. It was debated at length. It was one of the big things in the abortion debate, the fact that, you know, these women weren't heard and were considered in the legislation. So you would have known a bit about it then, would you?
Well, it was on the airwaves, because that was June, really, last year.
Yeah.
So it was, obviously, Zaldane was born on the 10th of May, and then she came back on the 21st of May, and then it kind of hit the waves, the end of May, beginning of June.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, I listened to yeah. it.
So back then, so incompatible with life. It's I know, and you just spurted it out there. It's horrible. I think it's a horrible.
It's an awful phrase, and we'd never heard it before.
Yeah.
Same as you know, we'd never heard it before, and all of a sudden we were faced with this phrase that just became the new reality in our life.
And in speaking to women, and we've spoken to a number of women, we spoke to a woman down in Kilkenny, an hour late, and then Aideen or Aileen, I always get it wrong. She decided to go to full term with her baby. All been told that this little unborn child was incompatible with life. What way was the news delivered to you?
Well, I have to say, Holles Street looked after us in an absolutely fantastic way, but unfortunately their hands are tied. I mean, because of the legislation, there's very, very little they can do for us. They outlined our options to us, which is the options are you can either choose to try and carry the baby to full term, or else you can go to the UK or indeed anywhere else for a termination for medical reasons. So they were the two choices. Well, in fact, they aren't really any choices, are they? Because in Ireland, you know, you have to travel abroad in order to have a termination. So we didn't have any choice.
Okay. And did you consider at any point that you might carry the baby to full term?
No, Ray, to be honest, I didn't. I just didn't think I'd be able to go through the absolute heartache of knowing that, you know, the baby might live for moments or for days, or might die in the womb. I just wasn't able to go through the heartache of that.
Mm.
And I suppose it was a decision that we didn't take lightly. That was a decision I made. It was a choice that I made. But other women in the same situation make different choices for whatever reasons.
So it was around 26 weeks, or it was 22 when you had the scan.
Yeah.
So there was still another 18 weeks of if you were to go full term.
There was that.
And then, of course, what do you say to people?
You know, well, what happens? Yes. Somebody comes up and they congratulate you. Yes. What do you say? You burst into tears and say, it's a waiting game.
Yeah.
I suppose the most awful waiting game was from finding out, you know, that our little girl was incompatible with life to actually travelling to Liverpool. I mean, that was nearly the space of a week. I mean, the reality of the situation is that there's quite a lot of women who travel to Liverpool, so you're pretty much in a long list of people who are waiting to go. And it goes by the weeks and by the days, so how many weeks of pregnant you are. So if somebody else jumps in and they're 26, 27 weeks, you get moved down the list. So we had to wait the bones of a week, which was absolutely heart-taking.
And do you have to go away from Holles Street and arrange that yourself?
Yes.
Right, so you've just been presented with some of the worst news of your life.
Correct. And then
you have to go about the sort of logistics of getting flights, booking into a hospital in a different country.
Booking a car, getting yourself together, you know, choosing a name for the child, all that sort of stuff, choosing an outfit if that's what you choose. So Holles Street are as helpful as they possibly are and can be, but their hands are tied. You know, they give some very, very sound advice. In our case, they actually did recommend, you know, one or two hospitals that we should look at in the UK.
But my understanding is there's only a couple who do terminate for medical reasons.
Exactly. So they had
Liverpool
actually,
is one of them. Yeah.
Liverpool is, and I think a lot of people have spoken very highly about Liverpool.
I
think that comes out in the book Ruby's Tuesday quite a bit. You know, it does, it talks about the warm, fantastic people who greet you with open arms when you arrive there.
So yourself and Gary then fly over, and you present yourself, and from other people we've spoken to, there's a lot of Irish women have to do this, don't they? So they know your story before you even tell them it.
Yeah, and it's funny actually. They keep apologising to you for it, and you keep apologising because you're Irish, and it becomes a big sign of apology.
What do they apologise about?
They're just like, oh, we're so sorry, you have to go through this. This is absolutely awful, isn't it terrible? You can't go through it in your own country. And yeah, they feel really bad. I mean, I think, to be perfectly honest, they look after Irish women extra special there because they know the trauma of coming over from Ireland to the UK to have a termination for medical reasons without having your family beside you or anything like that.
It is. I know. We can't say it. It is horrific. It's horrific. And I know from reading bits of what you say that you never got angry with. You never got angry with Ireland or the government or the people who made you do this.
Yeah, I suppose you go through a kaleidoscope of emotions, don't you? Like, first it's shock, then it's like heartache, then it's kind of frustration, and then it's, and maybe it's because I wrote the book that maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm less angry about it. I don't know. Maybe that was the release and the outlet that I got from that.
Yeah.
But to date, no. Maybe I will wake up one morning
and be
outrageous
very angry.
Very angry. But
so you and you're not allowed to bring. So Zeldine was born, or
Was born on the 10th of May, and unfortunately you can't bring. The only way you can bring your child home is in a box, pretty much. And that's what actually inspired quite a lot of the novel.
When you were in theatre then, do you get to hold Zeldine? Yeah.
So after she was born, then they take her away and wash her and clothe her and dress her up. And then you get to spend the day with the child. So that's why there's a particular chapter which I love in the book, which is called an Angel's Day on Earth. So it's the one day that you have with the child.
Right.
And so you get a day.
What do you...
I don't know. It's very strange. It's kind of bizarre. Like, what you do, you can't say... There's nothing to do. You just sit there and hold her and cry and try and work through the pain.
And, these people are experts and they know what they're doing. So is that some... That's probably to help the grieving process, is it?
They're real experts, I suppose. You know, these women sit in the cold face of reality of death every single day of the week. They know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, they tell you not to spend too much time with the child because you don't want to, you know, they don't either want you to create too much of an attachment either. So it's really that fine balance about having enough time to remember the child without becoming too attached to it there and then. And then you go. Then we headed home the next day. And then 11 days later, our little girl came home in the box. And that's actually that scene from the delivery guy trying to deliver the box. I suppose really what inspired the novel, which is the true story in the novel.
So this is the true story. So you go running.
So I took up running during the summer and I absolutely hate it, so I'm just back into the water again. But I took it up during the summer. So we were heading out for a run, myself and Gary, and we saw this guy who was trying to deliver a box just next door or two streets down from where we used to live. And he was. He approached us and he said to us, he said, do you know where, for example, Martello Avenue is? And I said, Martello Avenue. I said, no, but we actually live on... I said, it must be around here because we actually live up on Summerhill Road, which we don't anymore. I said, but... And I recognised his voice. And he looked at me and he said, are you Gillian? And I said, are you Michael? And he said, yes, I am. And I said, oh, you're the guy I was talking to on the phone a couple of days ago. And he said, yes, I am. I said, oh, yeah. He said, oh, Jesus, Mrs., I'm so sorry. He said, is your fellow home with you now? I said, yeah, he's home and Zeldine's home. So it was the delivery guy who'd been trying to deliver the box to our house 10 days before and I wasn't there. So he called me.
Zeldine's ashes.
I'd say he thought he was, I don't know, maybe delivering a box of shoes or something.
Yes.
He'd called me 10 days before and, you know, was trying to deliver the box and said, listen, can I leave with anybody? Can I leave with the neighbours? Can I leave it with friends? Can I leave in the shop across the road? I was like, no, you can't leave with anybody. He said, yeah, I'd say he thought I was being really difficult.
Yes.
I was like, no, you can't. I must sign for it. And then eventually I burst into tears. I was like, no. I said, you can't give it to anybody. So that poor man, I ruined two of his days.
Did you have to tell him then?
I had to say to him. I had to tell him. And I'd say the poor man, like an awful lot of people, might never have heard of a fatal fetal abnormality.
Yeah.
He was standing there in absolute shock. And he just said... Yeah, and he said to me, at the time, actually, he said, oh, Jesus, Mrs. Oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry for you. How did it happen? And then the next time when I met him, he said, oh, my Mrs. killed me for asking you that question.
How did it happen?
So, yeah, I suppose that was really what motivated me and inspired me to start the novel, that incident.
So 10 days on, you'd met him. And there's lovely bits in the book there where he, and I don't know if this is fact or fiction, and he was saying now that he thinks about the stories behind, he's been delivering for a long time and he never really thought about the stories behind the packages. And now he does. Yeah. Michael's his name. If he's listening. So it's less than a year on, and they say that the grieving process takes at least a year. You don't feel right till after a year, and you. It sounds like a whirlwind there that you went into. So do you think you're going to at some stage now when the business of the book and all that is? Do you think at some stage you're going to just come crashing down or
to exit it? God, Ray, who knows?
Yeah.
I suppose I am very lucky that I have a very supportive family who were through it with me. Where I work have been very, very supportive. All my friends and colleagues have been very supportive. So I suppose in one way, you know, we're privileged to have that support, you know, around us. There's a lot of people, and I found some of these stories really upsetting in Liverpool. There's quite a lot of people who have been through all sorts of traumatic experiences, like people who go to Liverpool, have a termination for medical reasons and pretend that they've gone away for a weekend to Liverpool, you know, and pretend that they've had a miscarriage. So, you know, it's really awful. It's terribly traumatic. But in one way, I suppose we are quite privileged to have such a huge support network around us.
So, you've no children, do you?
No, we don't. No.
And what is, you've discussed it, is that too intimate a question?
No, I suppose we decided that we'd leave a bit of time after this for the healing process to take place. And then I suppose I sat down to write the book, and that has really taken up, I suppose, my whole life and world for the last 6-7 months. So who knows what will happen now in the future.
A story that needs to be told, says Martina Devlin, and I'll just read her quote from the back, which says, a moving story with the chime of truth. It should be mandatory reading for any legislator drafting laws that affect expectant parents, says Martina Devlin. And as a father that has gone through the hand holding with my wife through being told your child was incompatible with life, it never leaves me. Our baby was due today. Happy birthday, April. I miss you. That's Marshall. And just being through the same thing at Christmas, very difficult as I can't talk to any of my family or friends about it. That's probably one of those ones. Yeah. Shocking what ladies must go through in this country. Driving from Arklow to Dundalk and stomach in bits. Listen to that girl. And I can't believe what the girl and many more go through every year. It's not my business or anyone else's to tell a woman what to do with her body. It's 2014. My God, how backward are we as a country? Best of luck to both of them. And what's the name of the book? It's Ruby's Tuesday. And Gillian Binchy is the author. Famous literary name, Gillian. And that's the first question I asked. Is there a connection?
Yes, of course there is. There is, yeah. There is. Cousin of Maeve's. My dad and her were first cousins, so second cousins.
Right.
Yeah.
And Chris Binchy, he's a writer as well.
Yeah, he is. He's also a cousin. We're all kind of interbred and interrelated.
Right. So you all have the writing gene.
Well, I don't know if we all have it, but some of us try. give it a go anyway.
Yeah. Ruby's Tuesday, Gillian Binchy. It's out now, $9.99 from, is it Ward River Press? Yeah. So it's an interesting book because there are very few people who can write about this so, you know, truthfully and factually, and yet it's a fiction. And it happened so immediately after your tragedy. So for all those reasons, it's a very strong book. Thanks for coming in, Gillian Binchy. Ruby's Tuesday is the name of the book. Take a quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on Today FM.